Good evening, everybody. This is Radio Ranch Wrangler Kyle, and welcome to Saddle Up. This is the Scriptures for America worldwide broadcast. I'm coming to you live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. It is August 7th, 2012. This radio broadcast is heard every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Mountain Time on satellite, shortwave, and internet radio. The shortwave frequency dial at this time is 5.755 on the world's greatest shortwave station, WTWW. The internet website with 24-hour-a-day radio listening is www.scripturesforamerica.org. Just go there and click on the 24-hour live radio, and you can listen to messages by Pastor Peters and others all day and every day. Now stay tuned. Don't change that dial. And we'll be right back. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen because they are strong, very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. That is Isaiah 31, verse 1. Tonight's show, we're going to call it Faith or the Law of Faith. Take your pick. It's going to be, I hope it's going to be edifying. I hope it ain't going to be boring. I hope that I'll maybe point out some things that you haven't really thought of before, or at least not for a while. I want it just to make sense. I guess that's what I'm going to get at. I don't want to complicate the waters. I want it to be simple, and I just want it to be common sense. Where you go, oh yeah, I never thought of that before, or oh yeah, you know, I need to get back there. I was there once before, because I do that all the time. I'll believe something, and it'll be on my mind for a long time, and then all of a sudden it'll leave me, and I'll need somebody to refresh my memory. Usually it's an old CD by the pastor or something, but then I'll start thinking, man, I used to really think a lot about that. You know, why haven't I did that for a while? Anyway, that's where I want to go. And I've got a guest with me tonight. I got Brent here from Canada. And are you unmuted over there, Brent? Not yet? No, it's three. Yes. No, it's not coming through. Oh, I got you down. There we go. No. Well, we'll work on that in a minute. I want to read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to start off. Of course, everybody knows that as the Hebrew, or the Hall of Fame, Faith Hall of Fame. In just verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that's pretty simple. Faith is hope. It's the substance of things hoped for. And we were sitting here during Solutions a little bit before that, or at least I was in here a little bit before that, and Brent looked up the word hope, you know, and a couple words that stuck out were trust and confidence. You see, that's not usually where we use that term hope in our everyday life. When we say hope, it's more of a maybe it will, maybe it won't. A man who walks out of the convenience store with a lottery ticket will say, I hope it's a winner. Well, that's not what this hope here is all about. This hope actually could be used as faith. It means trust. It means confidence. And that is the faith we're supposed to use. I want to go now to a little couple verses in Romans. Romans 8. And I hope we can get Brent working over here during the Saddle Up song or something. But Romans 8, 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So there's a little bit different perspective on, like I said, what we use the word hope for. In the first place, don't hope for things you can see, because you know it's like faith. It doesn't take faith for me to believe the sky is blue. I know the sky is blue because I'm looking right up at it right now. But if I lived underground and never seen the sky, it would take faith to know that the sky was blue. I'd have to believe something, you know. And now I'd like to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, and I'm just going to read verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now that has to do with walking by faith, not by sight. Because the things that you can't see are the things of faith. When you pray over the sick, or when you call for the elders to pray over the sick, it says a prayer of faith. You see, they can't see the person with their own eyes getting well, but they have faith in the unseen. And they have hope. They have trust. They have confidence. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So many people think belief and faith are the same thing. Like you can believe certain things, but that has nothing to do with faith because faith is the unseen. Belief is a totally different thing. And yes, we know faith with works is true faith, and faith without works is dead. And we'll get there probably later on in the show, but that's pretty obvious. Let's go back now to Hebrews 11:6. I knew I should have kept my finger there. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I just wanted to point out that without faith, without hope in the unseen, it is impossible to please God. That's what it says. And in verse 7 it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You see, God told Noah it was going to rain, and it was going to rain a lot. 40 days and 40 nights worth. Noah had never seen rain before. But he had faith. He trusted. And he had confidence in what the Lord told him. Now I've prayed very hard at certain times of my life for huge things in my life. Sometimes it didn't pan out. And I know there's many out there that have went through the same thing. Now, I'm just speaking from my experience. I thought I had faith because I had hope. But I didn't really have hope according to Bible hope. I had hope according to man's hope. You see, if fear enters into it, if you're praying for something, no matter how big or how small, and you have this fear that it's not going to be answered, that takes away that hope, that faith, because it interferes with the trust, and it interferes with the confidence you know. Like the Bible will say, you know, if you pray for the sick, they shall recover. Doesn't leave room for naught. But if things enter into the picture, that's when things go awry. But anyway, this is Radio Ranch Wrangler Kyle, and the show is Saddle Up. We're talking about faith tonight. I'm coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this August 7th, 2012. Grab your reins, saddle up, and let's ride.
Saddle up, saddle up, saddle up, and ride.
Gay brutes drove it last no more.
Saddle up, you men to leather born.
Your graves will heal their sleeping prey.
This is the dawning of the judgment day.
Saddle up,
saddle up,
saddle up.
The list is long, you'll hear the names.
Billy the Kid,
Jesse James,
Johnny Ringo, Curly Bill.
They're all sleeping now on some blue hill. Rise up your faithful ponies, wave.
Saddle up and ride through the golden gate.
The judge will call you one by one,
and not a man will back a gun.
Saddle up!
Saddle up!
He's calling those he knows should ride.
Just as they live, just as they die.
Some are doomed by the judge's word.
To the ghostly riders and the devil's herd.
Saddle up!
Saddle up! The list is long and you all know.
Wild Bill Hickok,
Geronimo,
Sitting Bull and Old Sam Bass,
who now their judgments o'er his past. So hear that trumpet and lose your fears.
Although you've slept for over 60 years,
you never really ever die. So saddle up and ride.
Ride,
ride,
ride, saddle up.
Welcome back to Saddle Up this August 7th, 2012. And I'll shut that off. Try to speak, Brent. No, it's not happening tonight. I don't know why. Where's Richard when you need him? But anyway, tonight's show, faith. Maybe Brent was really going to reveal something too, and it's just not our time. God didn't want us to know yet, so we'll have to wait for a different time. I want to go now to Romans 3, and I really was going to use his help tonight too. Romans 3, and I'm going to read quite a few verses here, 19 through 31. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. I hope you're listening out there to that. It gets perverted all the time. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Now I want to go through some of these verses, or maybe all of them. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Those that are under the law are sinners. You can find that out in Timothy. They are still under the law because they haven't changed jurisdictions. In verse 20 it says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. No flesh. I don't care who your mama and daddy is. No flesh can be justified by the law. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. That's basically self-explanatory. The righteousness of God is manifested without the law. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, all have transgressed God's laws. 24. Being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are justified by the grace through redemption by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's been taught plenty. Verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. We basically just talked about that in the previous verse. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So God justifies not those who obey the law. He justifies faith, those who are in Christ Jesus. In 27 it says, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Sounds pretty important, the law of faith. Boasting is excluded. Or at least, I should say, it should be. It's not. The Pharisees, they're amongst us today. And they're always boasting about how they keep this and how they keep that. That should be excluded. You're justified by the law of faith through Jesus Christ. Verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Doesn't get any simpler than that. Verse 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles, yes, of the Gentiles also. And I'll read 30 because it goes right along with that. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision of faith, or by faith, and the uncircumcision through faith. See, the Jews that it's talking about here is the house of Judah. They were never divorced by God. They still kept circumcision. So it ties them together. In these two verses, the Jews are those that are, it says in verse 30, justify the circumcision by faith. Now the Israelites, or the Gentiles, I should say, the ones who were scattered because they were divorced, they lost their identity, so to speak. They didn't keep the covenant of circumcision. They're considered the uncircumcision here. And it says the uncircumcision is through faith. The Jews by faith, the Gentiles through faith. But notice, it's faith. In verse 31, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Again, most of those verses are so, if you just read them by themselves, they're so self-explanatory, but if you read them all together, then you're thinking about one verse while you're reading the other one, at least I do sometimes. So it's nice just to take them one at a time, like that, and see where it goes. Now let's go to Romans, stay here in the book of Romans, let's go to verse 4, chapter 4, 13 through 16. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Again, I'd like to look over at Brent and ask him, is there anything there you don't understand? I mean, it's pretty simple, ain't it? There's so many out there, and I just scratch my head. They seem to think all our answers are in the law of God. And it's like, can you not read? Can you not understand? But the real question is, can you not see? Faith, hope, is having to do with the unseen. You know, I can't tell you why you have to be washed, fully submersed in water to become a Christian, to become redeemed, to attain salvation. I can't tell you why that is, but I have faith in it. I have hope in it. The true hope. The hope that comes with, what I say, trust and confidence, not the hope of the guy who played the Powerball. Let's go to Romans 9, and we'll read verses 30 through 33. I love the book of Romans. Verse 30, what shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But listen to what that said again in verse 31 and 32. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. When you go after righteousness by the deeds or the works of the law, it's a stumbling block. You're going to fall down. Hopefully you can get back up. There's some who ain't going to get back up. Does that make sense to you? I got a nod up and down. Well, that's good. Well, I'm going to try to go to a song here, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the law of faith. And I probably don't have enough notes with me tonight because I wasn't planning on doing the whole show by myself. But that's all right. But the phone number here is 307-745-5913. Give me a call, and I'll be back in a moment.
I mushed from Point Barren through a blizzard of snow. Been out prospecting for 2 years or so. Pulled into Fairbanks, the city was a boom. So I took a little stroll to the Red Dog Saloon. As I walked in the door, the music was clear. The prettiest voice I had heard in 2 years. The song she was singing made a man's blood run cold. When it's springtime in Alaska, it's 40 below.
When it's springtime in Alaska, it's 40 below.
It was red-headed Lil who was singing so sweet. I reached down and took the snow packs off my feet. I reached for the gal who was singing the tune. We did the Eskimo hop all around the ceiling. With a caribou crawl and a grizzly bear hug, we did our dance on a coat. The song she kept singing made a man's blood run cold. When it's springtime in Alaska, it's 40 below. I was as innocent as I could be. I didn't know Lil was Biggie's wife-to-be. He took out his knife and he gave it a throw. When it's springtime in Alaska, I'll be 6 feet below.
When it's springtime in Alaska, you'll be 6 feet below.
And it sounds like it's a little cold there in Alaska during the springtime. It's a little cold here during the wintertime. It's about 30 below a lot of times, but we've got a phone caller. Let's go to the phones. Joe, you're on the air?
Yes, Kyle.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Oh, just fine. I hope everything is well with you all out there.
It seems like it is. Nobody's told me anything different, so.
But anyway, you're delving into Romans, which I kind of like. I don't know if you have gotten into Romans 13 at all, but
no.
Scrolling down here on this Biblos.com thing, I guess, and I came across a pretty neat thing here concerning the law, remembering that Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. Romans 13:8, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Now, that goes along with what Pastor Jones preached about, you know, the law being the Word, and Jesus is the Word. So, down here in in verse 10, it says, love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And again, Jesus said he fulfilled the law.
Right.
So
in the first and the second commandments, you know, I mean, the greatest commandment and the second that is likened unto it, you know, it says all the other laws and prophets, you know, fall into those categories. And that's love thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, you don't stop there. You need to know the details on how that's done. You know, and we got a blueprint here of 66 books that tells us how it's done. So it's not like you ignore it, but when push comes to shove, that's the answer, or that's the solution. You know, I mean, that's where it's at. You know, I mean, because, I mean, think about it. How many of us have things done to us where we go, man, I didn't really like that being done to me? And so we learn from that, and we don't do, I mean, let's say you have a car for sale, and it's full of rust, but it's been painted over, and you can't tell it's got rust all over it.
Mm.
Would we want to buy a car like that for $3,500 when it's only worth $500? You know, or,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just giving a for instance. You know,
well,
I mean, and that's just loving your neighbor as you want to be treated yourself, loved yourself. You know what I mean?
Unless you paint the car, you know, you do the Bondo deal and everything, and you include in the ad, you know.
That would, hey, if it's a truthful sale and you're not trying to snow anybody, that's one thing. But I'm talking about ripping somebody off. And if you want to know the details of where you are wrong there, you can go to the law and find out, you know.
Yep.
But, you know, basically, the Word of God doesn't lie, and all the laws and the prophets hang on those first two commandments. I mean,
you know, a guy, I just bought a load of chicken this afternoon.
Yes, sir.
And last week I was emailing the guy. He's a grass farmer and stuff. He ranges his chickens and cows and things. So I go to him because the chicken's good. Anyway, he emailed me saying that August 7th was the kill day. He was going to process his birds, and they'd be available in the late afternoon.
Uh-huh.
So I showed up that one day, and he wasn't there. And I just caught this this lady that was there was a buyer for a local restaurant, and she was picking up her purchase. And she told me that, he's not here. So she was opening up the freezers and telling me, oh, here, you know, we have these chickens, and they're frozen solid. And I know full well that they're not fresh kill.
Uh-huh.
So she gets on the phone and calls this man and hands the phone to me. And Pete goes, oh, you know, it's next Tuesday. And I'm there August the 2nd, which was last week, pretty next to next week, last week, and he goes and, you know, he's apologizing all over himself here in an email the day before yesterday. He actually told me that I should show up late afternoon on August 2nd, but I sloughed it off. I said, listen, we make mistakes.
Yeah.
And you don't owe me anything. Because it says, you know,
and we do make mistakes.
We need to forgive our brother.
We do. Yep.
I take him as an Israelite.
Right.
So, that's what I did with him. And the funny thing is, he wouldn't say no. So he gave me a little bit of a break on the chicken, and he threw in a whole big bag of chicken hearts.
Well, that's good.
So
now we don't want to go into the heart and liver thing tonight. So back off, people.
Uh-huh.
Good inputs tonight, Joe. I appreciate
it. I thought I'd relate that to your talk this evening.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
All right.
Well, God bless you, brother, and we'll be listening in.
You too.
Thanks.
And that guy hung up. And caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Kyle. This is John in Washington.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good. And I just wanted to make a quick comment about what you were talking about earlier about not being able to attain righteousness through the law.
Yes, sir.
And yes, that's quite true. If you are under the law, it leaves no room for grace, as no one can attain righteousness through the law. Even so, no one is perfect, and everyone falls short of the law, because no one can keep it all. As it says in Romans 6:14-15, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law but under grace. But being under grace doesn't mean you're free to do what you want. As it says in the next verse, what then shall we sin? Because we are under law but under grace, may it never be. But we are under grace, but still following the law, but we do not attain righteousness but through Jesus Christ, not the law.
Amen. I agree with that 100%, John.
Right. I think that's all I wanted to say.
Oh, great. Thanks for your input. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. All right, talk to you later. And there is a faith chapter on maybe liver and hearts. Beans, we're talking about faith tonight. Maybe I'll get to that. It's I think it's in Romans 14, but we maybe get there here in a moment. Of course, it don't mention liver and hearts, but it does mention about those that eat herbs and those that eat all things. You know what I mean? And all things doesn't mean unclean foods. I'm not trying to say it does. But it talks about, well, I'm talking about, I might as well just read it, but anyway, I'm going to go to Ephesians right now, chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, we've basically read that in Romans, but it's always good to have another witness. And the boasting, you know, that's what the hypocrites, the Pharisees, did all the time. They were always praising themselves. They were always letting somebody know that they fasted for a certain amount of period of time, you know, or you know, they hold the Sabbath here and they never miss it, and they even do the seven-year Sabbath thing, or whatever it happens to be. They're boasting, and there is no boasting. It says it's excluded. Now, we know it's not excluded because they continue to do it, but it's excluded in God's eyes, you know. It's worthless. Anyway, let's go now to 2 Corinthians 13, verses 5 through 7. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do know evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Anyway, really the verse I wanted to read here is the first one. Examine yourselves. I think New American Standard might say test yourselves, whether you be in the faith. And that's a good thing to do. I think a good place to do that would be where John went in Romans chapter 6. Because basically it tells you how to get out from under the law and into grace. And that is through baptism for the remission of sins. That's a good test. Another test would be in James, the book of James. I guess a lot of people out there in the Christian world, they don't like the book of James because it contradicts a lot of things they say. I've never really noticed the contradictions, you know. I mean, they say, you know, it contradicts Paul or something. I don't know. But in the book of James, chapter 2, it's a great faith chapter, just like the Romans 3 one was. But this is a test. Honestly examine yourself and see if you fit this, and then you'll know if you're in the faith. We'll start in verse 14 and we'll read through 17 at first. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Now that's a great story. Kind of reminds me of what Joe was talking about. It's just, do unto others as you would like to be done. I mean, if somebody is standing out on the street and they're telling you that they're cold and they're wet and they're got no place to lay their head and they're, you know, all they got's a t-shirt on, and all you say to them, go and be warmed and find a, whatever you say, and find a place to stay, and you do nothing, you're faithless. I mean, that's not faith at all. Faith is acting. That's a good test to know if you're in the faith. Now let's read on. 18. Maybe we'll read clear through the end of this chapter. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith alone. I guess that may be where the controversy will come in, and they say, you know, but these ain't works of the law. These are the works of the law of faith. These are the greatest and the second to its commandments. You know, I mean, that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about keeping the Sabbath. We're not talking about not eating unclean foods or, you know, getting that person that touched a dead body away from you. We're talking about works of the law of faith here, which is, you know, the greatest and the second to it commandment. And then it says, you see then how that works, and man is justified not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without the works is dead, or so faith without works is dead also. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. If you're all mouth and you never do anything, you can say whatever you want. The devils believed and trembled. But those who have actions, I like to put it more as fruit, because we're told so often in the Gospels to judge a tree by its fruit, you know, or you will know them by their fruits. You know, I mean, fruits and works is basically the same word, but I like to call it fruits because then you know what you're talking about. And it's, you know, if you have faith, you'll have these fruit that'll bear it out. If you believe in Christ and you follow Christ, you're going to act a certain way. You're not going to sell somebody a car with a bunch of rust in it if they don't know about it. Now, you might do it. You might stumble. You might do something you regret later, but on a whole, you're not going to do that. There's the whole subject is, who is my neighbor? Well, who is your neighbor is the one that acts like Christ would act. You know, he's going to pick up the man out of the ditch and dust him off and say, are you all right? You know, hey, you got, you know, I got an extra pair of pants. You know, you got holes all over in that one or whatever. They're actions that prove faith. So anyway, got to read James 2, I think, if you're going to talk about faith. Maybe let's go to another song, get my thoughts together for the last 10 minutes of the show. And again, the number is 307-745-5913. Give me a call.
shades of night are falling as the wind begins to sigh, and the world is silhouetted against the sky. Shadows on the trail, shine through the trees, and a plaintive wail from the distance comes a-drifting on the evening breeze.
Saddle Up, The Law of Faith tonight, August 7th, 2012. I don't know why there's such a gap at the beginning of those songs. Whoever put that together just wasn't recording very good, and that was, of course, me. Anyway, I want to go now to Romans. You know, ask the question now. So how do you get this thing called faith that we're talking about tonight? And it's pretty obvious if you have faith in it. And that's in Romans 10. And I'm just going to read verse 17 at first, because it gives the answer. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Some dispute that. I don't know how they can. Some will even lighten it. Well, you know, when you read too, you're also... No. Believe me. I know what I'm talking about. I read for years and never had the faith. I had a little faith, but I never had the faith that I had until I heard the Word of God preached. Now, I'm going to read now verses 14 through 18. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who have believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words went unto the ends of the world. Preaching. I think I touched on that last week or the week before. It doesn't just mean talking. It doesn't mean teaching. It doesn't mean you're a scholar. It means to cry out. A man on the street corner with a newspaper, you know, he would yell out, you know, extra, extra, read all about it, or what. Preaching is, I don't have the word in front of me, which, forgive me for not having it, I should have it. But it's a certain aspect of how you deliver the word of God. And it brings faith. I've witnessed it. I've felt it. And it still brings faith. When I watch the pastor preach on Sunday mornings, I walk out of there, or at least I get up from my seat with more faith than I had when I sat down. If I watch or listen to a teacher, I might have more knowledge. I might have more understanding. But I don't have more faith. There's a difference. We got time for one more caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, Carlos. Chris in Virginia.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good program tonight.
Thank you.
I've had several people help me out lately. You know, I'm disabled.
Yes,
and,
sir.
I can't dig on a garden or stuff like that anymore because of my heart attacks and strokes and stuff like that. But now I've got neighbors over here who, without me asking or saying anything to them, they're coming and bringing me fresh eggs from their hen houses, and they're bringing me produce from their garden over here, all kind of tomatoes and stuff. And now those are the sorts of things that I don't know if these people have any particular faith or not, but I know that by their actions, they've got the law of God on their hearts.
They got something going on, don't they?
Yes, sir. And by the same token, whenever I hitchhiked downtown like a couple times a day, there were people on the bus where I was riding down on the bus in town. A couple of them didn't have money. Well, I had a chance to give them a little money so they could ride the bus. And that allowed me to bless someone else. That gave me a blessing to help them out, you know.
Yeah.
People help me, I help others. That's what the Lord wants us to do.
It is. And there's one more aspect to that, and this doesn't contradict what you said at all. And I hope you don't think it does, and I hope the listeners don't think it does. There are kind people in the world. But I want to say this. Flesh and blood will not and cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You have to have the Spirit of God. You have to be washed of your sins.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and maybe these people are, you know, and you just don't know it, but, and maybe they're gonna be. A month from now or a year from now if time goes on or whatever. But I know exactly what you're saying. I love to see it. I love to see people that'll hold a door for you when you're walking into a store instead of you holding one for somebody who walks by you and doesn't even say thank you. You know, it's nice to see kind-hearted people in the land, you know. But it's our job to spread the gospel. And if you're only been born of flesh and blood, that's not enough. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out because it was the end of the show, Chris. But
okay.
Thanks for your comments. Appreciate it.
All right. Good night.
All right. We'll talk to you later. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're about done. And that is in Romans chapter 14, 1 through 10, if you want to read about not judging another person's faith. Some have more faith than others. Some have less faith. And that will tell you not to judge one another's faith. And so many people do. They better knock it off. But anyway, we'll see you next week. We'll see you tomorrow night or the Wednesday night prayer meeting. Good night.
Riverboat, ring your bell. Fare thee well, Annabelle. Maverick is the name. Is the tall, dark stranger there? Maverick is the name. Riding the trail to who knows where? Luck is his companion. Gambling is his game. Smooth as the handle on a gun. Maverick is the name. Wild as the wind in Oregon. Blowing up a canyon. Easier to tame. Riverboat, ring your bell. Fare thee well, Annabelle. Luck is the lady that he loves the best.
Natchez to New Orleans, living on jacks and queens. Maverick is a legend of the West. Maverick is a legend of the West.
Riverboat, ring your bell. Fare thee well, Annabelle. Luck is the lady that he loves the best.
Natchez to New Orleans. living on Jacks and Queens. Maverick is a legend of the West. Maverick is a legend of the West. Maverick is the name. Maverick is the name. Maverick is the name. Maverick is the name. Maverick.